What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough, go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you.
All right, guys, let's talk about something we all need. High quality, comfortable, stylish clothing that actually holds up in real life. Whether you're grinding at work, hitting the gym, or just hanging out, the Normal brand has you covered. I've been rocking their gear, and let me tell you, it's not your average clothing line. They've nailed it perfect with the perfect blend of durability, comfort, style. Whether it's a go-to rugged Henley, a hoodie, a button-down that doesn't make you feel like a stiff, the Normal brand is where it's at. The best part is you can support the show while upgrading your wardrobe. Just hit the link in the description below. Check out their collection. Trust me, once you try it, you'll wonder why you didn't do it sooner. The Normal brand. Made for real life, built to last. Now go check them out.
Shout out to our friends over at Captain Beard Co. Guys, if you are looking for beard care products, shampoo, conditioner, body wash, give Captain Beard Co. a try. They have this unbelievable beard butter, balm, oils, and then it smells amazing. Ladies, if you're looking for something for your men as a gift to help with their grooming, check them out. Also, if you guys are looking to just set the mood one night, candles, unbelievably smelling candles. Made with all natural ingredients here locally to St. Louis. Give them a shot. Also, while you're there, use the promo code Zach and Pat for 10% off your purchase.
Hey there, guys. Really appreciate you checking out the Zach and Pat Show. If you can obviously tell, we are a newer podcast, but one way we're really trying to grow the show is trying to get up the amount of subscribers we have. So, you know, if you're watching the show and you're getting something out of it, we'd really appreciate it if you could click that subscribe button. That would help us out a ton. Please click that button. And now back to the show.
We have a very special guest in studio today. He's one of my childhood best friends. He's the operations manager at Fit Flavors, the great and powerful Brian Crispin. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, man. Really excited to be on. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
pumped to have you. Zach's been talking you up. We had Katie on. That was a fun interview. So yeah. You've got some big shoes to fill.
Yeah. Yeah. I was joking with you guys earlier. That's kind of par for the course of my life is trying to follow Katie's footsteps. So
yeah, she's awesome, man.
Yeah, she's great.
Well, Brian, for the people out there that don't know you, can you give us just like a little bit of rundown of kind of who you are and yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So again, I'm Brian. I was born and raised St. Louis. Went to school with you. Throughout my whole life, South County guy. Now I'm a proud city resident, live in South City. We love it there. We've been there for about 5 years. I've worn a lot of different hats in my life. I was kind of thinking about this last night. I really didn't start to apply myself in terms of work until I was really in my 20s. And that kind of started when I became the radio booth assistant for the St. Louis Cardinals, which was an incredible job. It taught me so many different things, but I was there in 2013 and 2014. I went to every single home game, supported them in any possible way I could. And that really kind of like taught me about what it means to be, a reliable person within an organization, even though the Cardinals is a huge organization. I took it really seriously, worked really closely with the late, great Mike Shannon. Awesome guy. Love him. Miss him a lot. So I did that for 2 years, loved it a lot. And then I became a tour guide for Anheuser-Busch. And that was the most fun job I've probably ever had in my life. I mean, it was so much fun. I was in my early 20s and around a lot of people my age. And, you know, we would just go in and have fun every single day. And that kind of led to a career in that company as well. Did that for about 8 years and loved it. I mean, it was a great job. It was a great career path. But something in me just kind of clicked in the sense that I didn't want to live that corporate life forever. And so at that point, I was kind of thinking about like, what could I do that's not in the corporate world, but still where I can, you know, make an impact. And that's about the time that I started to realize that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. At least I thought I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I started to really enjoy cooking at home. And that kind of led to me meal prepping for me and my wife on a daily basis. I was prepping breakfast, lunch, dinner for every single day of the week. On Sunday, I would be in the kitchen for like 10, 12 hours a day. Cooking like crazy. And eventually my wife was like, you should really think about turning this into a business. So, you know, I did the whole thing, wrote the business plan, core values, mission statement, the whole deal. And I was looking on Fit Flavors website to try to get in touch with their owner. which in hindsight is kind of funny, like to think that she would have been like, yeah, here's my entire plan. Here's how I did all this. But in the moment it made sense. So I tried to hit them up and get in touch with her. And then I was looking on their careers and saw they had a couple open positions. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll just see if I can work with them instead of trying to be their competitor. Yeah. <You know? laughs> So one thing led to another. And yeah, here we are.
Here you are.
Yeah. It's awesome. A year tomorrow is my anniversary.
Oh, very cool. Damn, yeah. That's cool. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing, man. Well, like, so what ultimately kind of made you say, like, you know, fuck it and like leave AB?
Yeah. You know, it's a good question because it really was a good career. I don't have anything bad to say about it whatsoever. But for me, I'm just not a guy that could sit behind a computer all day, you know, and that's what I was doing for 8 hours a day. There would be so many days where I'd just be staring at the clock and being like, all right, 4:30 is almost here. Like, I just got to make it another 45 minutes and then I can go home. You know, I kind of wanted to carve my own path. Not that I didn't have that option there, but it felt like it was very siloed for me. Like, I felt like I got to a spot where I was kind of becoming a specialist in a certain area. And I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to be doing. I was looking at people who were in careers that were like a couple levels above me and seeing how they liked it, seeing what they were doing. And none of them really, at least the people I talked to, I'm sure they would say differently, but none of them, you know, seemed like they were obsessed with it, you know. Like, it was just kind of looking at it, it's like, okay, this is my path. And a lot of my family members were in the same boat, you know, where they would be working corporate jobs. I you know, my dad, loved him to death, but he would always, you know, kind of have that mentality of like oh, okay, yeah, you gotta go, you gotta clock in. Like, no one really likes it, no one is obsessed with their job, it's just kind of a necessity. So that's when I kind of was like, all right, I need to start thinking about a different way where I can make it, you know, where I'm not just siloed in one specific area.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about this when we had our last guest on, but like, I don't know if it's just like our generation or the times or what, or maybe it's just the people that we're around, but it seems like there's way more entrepreneurs now. And you, like, you hear the people like, yeah, you know, I don't want to work until I'm 65. I want to retire early and all of this stuff. And it's just like, I don't know, like, is that just like a generational thing with us? Or like, is it just people are finally sick and tired of the corporate model and they want to do something on their own or what?
But I mean, I think it's
been a rise in stuff. Yeah. Like, you've seen at least, like I said, maybe it's just because of the people that were around. It seems like there's been a rise in it, but I don't know.
Well, I just think now it's easier than ever. Easier than ever now to start a business. We have every resource at our fingertips at any point in our pocket. We can, you know, answer literally any question. We can figure out, you know, who's done this before, you know, and kind of learn from them. And there's so many examples. You can learn anything on YouTube.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, I would think that has to contribute to it a lot. I mean,
yeah.
You know, we all have free marketing in our pockets. You know, we can market whatever business. We can kind of figure out how to create anything with, you know, with a simple Google search.
For sure. Yeah.
You know, and I think that probably would definitely lead to it. But then it's also like, I think that the fact that we can all communicate like with anybody in the world that at any point you can kind of figure out all these other different paths that are out there that you may not have known 40 years ago.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, I think that would have to definitely certainly contribute to it.
For sure. And I think it kind of leads to a happier, you know, society. I mean, people are actually doing what it is that they want to do and putting in work on things they actually want to work instead of going to work for the man, I guess you could put it.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Clocking in, clocking out, waiting for that 4:30, you know, waiting for the definitely, clock to say 4:30 so you can leave.
Just think about how miserable, like my dad, I know that he was, because he was a manager for U.S. Steel for years and they were in Pittsburgh. So like he was having to be up at like 4:00 in the morning here because he was working from St. Louis and he'd be working until, you know, 6-7 o'clock at night. And I'm just like, he's like, oh, I just remember a conversation. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to work as much as what you're doing. Like, I don't want to put those hours in. And then I go and get into mortgages where I'm working way more. Yeah. But at the same time, like, it doesn't feel like it, you know?
Yeah. It's a lot easier when you're working and you truly are enjoying it and you're passionate about it versus a job where you're not into it at all. And you're thinking like, oh man, all right, Friday's coming. I got to make it to Friday. Yeah. And then Sunday night comes and you're like shit, fuck, Monday's tomorrow.
I got to go back in there tomorrow for 5 days in a row.
Yeah.
For me, I think that like baseball had it because like we always joked like every day is a Monday because you play every single day. There's no days off.
And yeah.
That's kind of how it is in this business. It's like, you know, everybody gets like now, you know, Mondays get a bad rap because it's the start of the week. But it's like every day's a Monday because there's really no days off in this business, and which is fine. But that's the thing is like I don't have to work all day every day. You know, we have the freedoms to do these things where we can stop and we can podcast for a couple hours on a Wednesday, or I can go and network and do those things. And I don't know, but I think it just also makes for it's made for a happier society in my, and from what I've been able to kind of see.
Yeah.
And gather.
Yeah, man, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I know for me, I work way more now than I ever did when I was in corporate land, as we call it. Like, yeah, it was always, you know, I wouldn't touch my computer. I wouldn't look at a single email until 8 a.m. when I got to work. And as soon as I left at 4:30, I shut the laptop and it didn't matter if the building burned down. Like, I wouldn't have cared to talk about it at all until the next day. But now it's like I'm always on, which sounds crazy, but I prefer it that way. I love it that way.
You know, you'd think that, you know, and I think just people are built different. Like, there are certainly people out there that just want to go and clock in and clock out and, you know, not have to think about it when they get home. Cause I mean, I'll be honest, there's certainly times where I wish I could turn it off, but
yeah,
you know, it's the machine is running and I gotta man it, you know,
exactly.
if I want to keep the wheels on. Yeah. So it's, I mean, it's just kind of got to choose the life you want to live and, you know, you're for the only one in control of it. So, you know, if you're not happy with the way your life is, there's only one person to blame and you gotta look in the mirror.
That's, well, it's just, right. Yeah, it's just like that conversation, that we had about success not too long ago, you know, and, you know, speaking of that, you know, what on your beliefs, you know, how have your beliefs changed from your 20s to where you're at now on success?
Oh, it's been a drastic change. I mean, but like you said, like you have to go out and search for that change yourself. It doesn't just happen overnight. At least it didn't for me. I didn't wake up and say, oh, my beliefs change. You know, right. I had to do a ton of research on my own. I read a lot of books. One book that I go back to every year, you guys have probably read it, is Extreme Ownership by Jocko.
Yep.
That probably has been the most impactful book for me personally, because I didn't have that mentality before. You know, before it was always like, oh, this happened and I'm kind of, you know, involved in that situation, but it's not really my fault because it's someone else's fault. Someone else can deal with it. But now it's like, even if I had nothing to do with the situation, it's like, okay, well, this is my fault because I didn't provide proper direction to the person who was overseeing it. So it's like, how can I improve to help this person to ensure that problem doesn't happen again? So I think that's a huge thing for me in terms of success.
Yeah, that book helped me get through my divorce.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously.
I mean, dude, I've read it a few times now. I mean, we read it together last year. Mm-hmm. So definitely one of my favorite books for sure. If I had to write like my top five favorite books or like most impactful books that I've ever read, it's honestly probably top two or top three. Like, I mean, it's right up there.
I would put like all three of those books, Extreme Ownership, The Economy of Leadership. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is
Field Tactics.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't read that one. But you know, such good shit.
Yeah.
Man, I love
it. They're fantastic.
You know, so if you never left like corporate land, as we call it, you know, what do you think your life would be like right now? Like if you had to paint an alternative timeline?
That's a great question, man. I'd probably be in the exact same boat. I'd probably be going in every morning and, you know, bitching to Katie, being like, fuck, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I got to find something else. There's got to be something else more for me. And, you know, continue to just sit behind the computer, get my work done within a few hours, and then click the mouse, you know, a little bit until it's time to leave.
I remember you and TJ playing, like, what was the game you guys were playing? You guys were, like, playing some games on your computer. Like, this was, like, back when everybody was at home in COVID.
Yeah.
You guys, like, had to, like, just constantly move your mice and, like, like, pretend to be working and stuff. And it's just, like, the most ridiculous shit. And it's, like, why are we even doing this?
Yeah.
You know, like,
it got pretty absurd for a little while, for sure. Yeah. But then I realized, okay, I should probably start to apply myself a little more here. Yeah. You know.
Oh, so you mentioned working with Mike Shannon. What were some of the things that you learned from working with him?
Man, that's a good question. The two things that come to mind right away is to have thick skin, because he was, you know, he was old school, man. He would tell you how it is. He wasn't going to sugarcoat anything. Like in me, I was 19, 20 years old, and I never had really been held accountable in a workplace before. And he was the first person that did. And when he held me accountable, it was like the whole room knew what was going on. You know, he had no problem laying into whoever he needed to lay into to get the job done. So having thick skin for sure. And then just being dependable, being a reliable person. You know, I kind of started to, about midway through the first year in 2013, I started to realize like these people took a chance on me. I mean, before I was working at a family fun center. It's no longer in business.
Yeah.
Tea Time. You remember Tea Time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. We used to go up there and ride the go-karts for free. Brian's working. Let's go play mini golf and ride the go-karts for free.
Good times up there for sure. But I never had a serious job by any means. And so all of a sudden I'm thrown into this environment where there's 3, 4, 5 people depending on me every day to make sure the radio booth is running smooth. I'm sorry, I forgot the original question.
What did you learn from Mike?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and to be dependable, man, to be undeniable, to get to the point where the people that look to you like and depend on you on a daily basis, to get them to the point where they say like, okay, I'm going to give Brian this task and he's got it. I don't need to worry about it anymore. Cause I know for the first month or two, I'm sure I dropped a couple balls and they let me know about it right away to the point where they were like, we don't know if we can trust you. Like you need to prove to us that we can trust you. And so that's when I started to really take it seriously and understand that it wasn't just a fun hangout spot to go watch Cardinal games for free and be around the Cardinal greats and shake hands with some awesome people. It was like, I'm here to do a job and I need to do the job well, or the night's not going to go well.
Yeah. That's intense.
Dude, I mean, that just had to be like, I remember when you were doing that, it was just like, it just seemed like such a cool job.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we always knew when you were working.
Yeah. You know? Like, always had the schedule in advance.
Yeah, exactly. Anytime there was a home game, we knew Brian was going to be out of commission for, you know, 5-6 hours.
Yeah. That was
I was gonna say, so was Al Hrabowski up there with him then too? Was that part of him?
Al was on the TV side at the time, but he would work radio a little bit. Ricky Horton too would fill in a little bit, but yeah, at that time it was Mike and John Rooney, and Mike Claiborne too. Okay. Awesome guys. I still try to go up there whenever I'm at a Cardinals game and say hello to them.
Okay.
Yeah, really, awesome. Really cool crew.
So cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was
like,
great.
Like a dream job, I feel like, for so many people.
Like, right. Those two, like those names, those are like Cardinals legends, you know? Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you're just hanging out with them every day.
For sure. Yeah, it was great. Red Shandings, another late Cardinal legend. Yeah. He was really good friends with Mike, and so he would come up in the radio booth almost every day.
Oh, wow.
So he would, you know, I would sit right next to him and watch the Cardinals games, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, man, this guy broke into the big leagues in 1945.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he just has so much information and sees the game way differently than anyone around him did. So it was so cool to be around those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
So what's like the craziest or like most chaotic behind the scenes moment at Fit Flavors since you've been there?
That's a great question, man. I guess it depends on the week. Yeah. It kind of changes week to week. You know, I remember last summer we have a machine. It's called the Bandall machine that labels all of our meals. It puts that label
white
across.
Label around it.
Yeah. For whatever reason, that machine decided to stop printing one day. And we could not, for the life of us, figure out what was going on. It was crazy. And we averaged 3,000 meals a day. So, you know, when you're not able to label 3,000 meals, it can create quite the bottleneck and a pretty big business disruption. So we had to...
Sharpie or what?
Basically, yeah. Yeah, we have... we have snacks that get their own individual snack labels. They're a little smaller. They're stickers that you peel off and put it on the snack container. So we had to start using snack labels for all of our meals. So we'd be peeling off stickers, hand labeling 3,000 meals a day. There'd be like 10 of us back in the packaging room. Meanwhile, I'm trying to talk with the manufacturer of our printer and be like, what is going on, dude? Like, how is this? Why is this breaking like this? We have no idea why. All the people that had been there for, you know, 9-10 years had never seen it before. They didn't know what was going on. So I had to overnight the printer to this company in Ohio, which was a crazy cost, by the way, to overnight a printer that's heavy.
Yeah, I can imagine. Like,
yeah, that was quite the shipping bill. It's like yay big, probably 20, 30 pounds.
Okay. Yeah.
So that was a wild day for sure. And turned out the print head just needed to be swapped out and we didn't know that. So now I have like three print heads on backup, you know, just in case.
Good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a water heater, exploded was the quote they used right before I arrived. So I wasn't there for that, but they still talk about that to this day. They're like, remember when the water heater exploded? Glad I didn't have to deal with that.
Yeah. You know? That's pretty scary.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Especially
definitely.
Yeah. Just contaminate all the food too. If that were, I guess.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah, definitely. Yeah. So. Yeah. Luckily the water heater's kind of in a
separate,
like, tucked away in a hallway where it doesn't really touch the food, but yeah, it would have been a bad deal if it was around.
Yeah. So How has your view on leadership evolved since becoming the guy who helps build culture instead of working inside one?
It's changed drastically. It's night and day. I mean, when I was working in corporate land, I had people that reported to me and I thought I knew what I was doing. In reality, I did not know what I was doing. A lot of the reason too is because you're going to get a different mix of people in corporate land versus a small business. So, you know, when I was in corporate land, it was kind of, I don't want to say easy to manage people, but it was just different because they knew what they had to do. Everyone's around each other at all times. Now I'm managing people that I might not see for a week or so. So, you know, it's keeping those communication lines open is huge. But in terms of, you know, leading people and getting them to the finish line, whatever that proverbial finish line is, I think the most important thing is to show them that you're willing to do it too. You know, there's no direction I would ever give any one of my coworkers that I wouldn't be willing to do myself. you know, you have to really walk the walk if you're going to talk the talk and get those people to buy in and trust you and get them to realize that, like, okay, this guy has my best interest in mind. He doesn't just only have his best interest in mind to make himself look good. It's like, he really wants to see me succeed as a person, you know, both personally and professionally.
That's awesome. Well, and you were talking about when you were starting your business, the core values that you were coming up with, are they similar, or were they in line or different than what you learned about with when you got the Fifth Flavor?
Yeah, definitely. They're very similar. I mean, I don't want to say I stole core values, but I definitely looked on their website, you know, looked on First Form's website. They have a great culture. I tried to, kind of like almost blend those two together. But yeah, I mean, you know, at Fifth Flavor, we actually just changed our core values, a little bit. The one I like the most is innovate relentlessly. That's one of our new core values. It's something that we always talked about, but it was never written on the wall for everyone to see on a daily basis. And, you know, there's tons of different ways to innovate. It might be a small process. It might be a humongous process. You know, it could just be something as simple as like, hey, we're, you know, instead of keeping our measuring cups on the left, why don't we keep them on the right? Because it's easier to pick them up on the right. You know, it's more efficient that way. You can turn quickly. Or it could be something as humongous as, hey, we have one manager over our packaging and distribution departments. Why don't we go ahead and split those and have two managers over each department? Both of those are innovative ways. Mm-hmm. It just kind of depends on what the issue calls for. But yeah, I mean, core values in general, it's everything for a company. It would be really tough to start a company and build a company and scale it without core values. Because otherwise, you know, like we hire on our core values. We let people go on our core values. We keep them top of mind all the time.
That's awesome.
Well, if you look at the way you manage people now, you ever catch yourself, you know, like seeing like past bosses you've had and be like, okay, well, I don't want to be like this guy.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, that's when I came to Fifth Flavors, I thought about my previous bosses I had in corporate, and it's like, okay, I really like the way this guy did this. I didn't really like this too much, so I'm going to take that. There were really like three or four people when I was at Anheuser-Busch that I loved working for. And I tried to kind of take the average of those four and try to spin it all into my own little way of managing people. You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But again, I mean, the most important thing is to get people to buy in on what you're trying to get them to do. Because if you can't get someone to buy in on where you're trying to go with the company and, you know, just on a day-to-day basis, it's going to be really hard to be successful long-term without, you know, their buy-in.
How many people are you seeing or working or that are working under you?
So I oversee, all of the back of house productions and front of house, operations. So the kitchen, packaging, distribution departments, as well as all the storefronts. So I'm pretty sure we have 55 employees total. And I, you know, they probably dotted line report to me, maybe 30, 40 of them. But, in terms of managers that I work with, there's three in back of house and then one in front of house and then our customer service manager as well. So five, maybe six.
Okay. How many chefs do you guys have back there? Because that's, you said 3,000 meals a day. That's that's a lot of fucking chicken that you guys are cooking up. I mean, geez.
Yeah, that's kind of on the lower side too, you know, because we're constantly growing. We're about to open a seventh store. So those numbers are only going to increase. But no, just one shift. I mean, the guys back there are awesome. I'm really fortunate to where our team is so good right now. And they're so dialed in that it makes my job easy. My job is kind of to be a firefighter, you know, like if an oven breaks or, you know, if our flat top doesn't want to start for some reason, or if our packaging machine goes down, if one of our distribution vehicles breaks down, that's kind of where I come in and I say, all right, here's where we need to go to ensure this doesn't happen again and to resolve the issue right away. But yeah, just one shift. They usually work about five. The first person gets there at 5 a.m. The last leaves probably about 4.
Okay.
Yeah. Just kind of depends. Same with the packaging department. They're really, really good right now. They can handle 3,000 meals a day easily, probably can get up to about 4,000. And that's when we need to start to kind of pivot a little bit.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I love about Fifth Flavors is, I mean, obviously you guys, it's a meal prep company, so it's, you know, should go without saying, but you know, you guys have, you know, the macros like clearly stated and like every single, and it's very consistent. Like,
yeah.
What's the process like going? I mean, I would imagine you guys have like a ton of scales and stuff and you're weighing stuff and like just trying to make sure all the portions are correct.
Yeah.
Like I just can imagine that gets
tedious.
Tedious. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but I mean, it's kind of essential for what you do.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, everything's pre-portioned out. We have a huge, you know, on our packaging wall, there's tons of different scales and measuring cups and, everything they would need to make sure each portion is perfect every time. But yeah, I mean, there's a ton that goes into it. We have a full menu development department that's completely dedicated to making sure that all the macros are perfect for every meal, that we have a good variety of macros, whether it be low fat, high carb or high carb or,
high carb, low fat.
Sorry, I lost my train of thought there, but yeah, I can't speak too much into that because I just simply don't, that's not my area of expertise. But yeah, I mean, those, that team is incredible. And yeah, it can get a little tedious, but again, that goes back to the employee buy-in. It's like, even on the days when people don't want to necessarily work as hard as they do, they don't want to give it their all, they don't want to, you know, they're tired at the end of the week, you know, physically, it's a demanding job, especially in packaging in the kitchen. You know, they're constantly on their feet all day long, walking around the table, just, you know, back and forth, back and forth. That's really when that buy-in comes into play, right? That's when I try to make sure that everyone is still seeing the bigger picture and not just seeing the next hour in front of them. Even though it's important, it's, you know, it's always important to keep the big picture in mind and understand why we're doing what we're doing and where we're wanting to go.
Incredible. And then how do they come up with like the new menus? Like, is that you guys rotate menus? Is it quarterly?
Yeah, every 8 to 10 weeks.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because you guys always have a, you know, a new menu that rolls out, and you guys have all these new menu items. Like, how you know, how are they coming up with all this stuff? Are they have like, is that Jillian or is that like,
yeah,
combination people?
Yeah, a lot of it's Jillian. I mean, Jillian's awesome. She's a certified chef and she knows everything there is to know about food. That's certainly her strong suit. It's kind of funny. We were out to dinner last week, and I ordered for myself. And Jillian got the same thing, but she made all these different alterations to her meal. And I went to the waiter and I was like, hey, just scratch what I said and just give me whatever she does. So now, whenever I go out to eat with her, I always be like, Jillian, can you order for me? Like, I don't care what it is. Just make sure it's good.
Mom, help me.
Yeah, Jillian's awesome, man. She's a great person to work with. She's so much fun too. She comes into the room and like, there's a different energy whenever she's in there. Great positive energy. But yeah, in terms of creating the menu, we're usually creating a menu like, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 menus out. Like right now, we're probably working on the fall winter menu for 2025.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then, you know, you always try to get a variety of different like proteins, whether that be chicken or beef or fish or, you know, vegan options too, vegetarian options, breakfast options, snack options. And to be honest with you, I really don't know a lot of what they do in terms of like the creative process. You know, because I'm so in operations.
Yeah. Just like, oh, that's the new menu. Sweet.
Spend the day in the kitchen.
That sounds good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Firecracker chicken. All right. Yeah. That sauce sounds good to me.
Good.
Right?
Yeah. Sign me up.
Yeah. Katie will joke to me all the time. She'll be like, what's on the new menu? And I'm like, honestly, I don't know. Like, you'd have to touch Jillian. How do you not know? It's like, you know,
but
it's fun.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing too, is like, I mean, you've got your ones, your staples that you keep on there all the time.
Yeah.
Cheeseburger bowl, lemon dill chicken or lemon dill salmon. All that stuff. Like, I mean, those are my go-to every time I go in there. I always get 2 or 3 of those every time. But yeah, it's just like, again, you mentioned it, the variety that comes out. Like there's always, I always look forward to what I like, the new thing that I'm going to fall in love with.
Yeah.
And this menu, the firecracker chicken, is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like it's so good. I'm sad. Sad, can I say it? I'm sad to see it go.
I'm sure it'll make its way back. I'm sure.
Yeah. How do we go from making it a seasonal item to one of the ones that stays?
This needs to be a staple. Yeah. Jillian, firecracker chicken needs to stay.
Yeah. I'll pass the word along for you.
Yeah. No, she's a regular watcher. I'm sure she's going to see this. Yeah. Like, I'm going to listen to these guys.
There you go. Right on.
Oh, man. Well, that's awesome. What's something, I mean, we talked about Mike Shannon, what's one big thing that you've learned from Jillian?
Well, I mean, I'm really lucky working with Jillian, and my direct boss, her name's Sid. She's fantastic. She's a great boss. She knows everything, I feel like, about operations and scaling businesses. The most important thing I've learned from them is accountability and probably getting people to buy in, really. I mean, that was kind of what sold me right off the bat, was they were like, hey, we're not looking for someone that is going to kind of come and go and be available as needed. And, you know, like maybe if we call you at night, you might answer. If not, no big deal. They were like, we need you to be all in on this business or it's not going to work. And that's one of the biggest things I learned from them, is that understanding that like, if you're trying to grow and scale a business, there is no 8 to 4, there's no Saturday, there's no Sunday off. There's no, you know, oh, I'm going to go on vacation and completely remove myself for a week. Like that doesn't exist. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's some days where I go to them and I say, hey, I'm going to be out of pocket for 4 hours. If anything happens, give me a call, but just know I'm not going to be staring at my phone, basically.
Right.
That's been huge for me. You know, operational excellence has been huge for me. I mean, my background isn't in operations. My background is sales and service. So operations was something that I really had to learn on the fly, more or less. So just soaking in as much knowledge as I possibly could from both of them on a daily basis has been huge for me. You know, whether it be asset maintenance, like ensuring that our machines are kept up on a daily basis, or just ensuring that the entire back of house flow, as we call it, making sure the food gets properly cooked on time so it can cool down on time, so it can get packaged on time and out the door on time. But yeah, man, that buy-in, I keep going back to that, because that truly is the most important thing for me, is getting A, yourself to buy in on the business and understanding that, like, this is what you want to do and you do want to be all in on this business, and then figuring out a way to get your people to have that same mentality so you can continue to grow the business and scale it.
That's good.
Nice.
It's awesome.
Well, while we're kind of on the subject of culture, like, you know, I guess, are you a part of any of, like, the interviewing processes or anything like that when you're,
yeah,
new people come in?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, do you feel like your bullshit detector has, like, gotten better?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, and I'm lucky too. Our HR girl, Elizabeth, shout out Elizabeth. She's great. She's like my best friend there. She's really, really good at vetting potential candidates when they're about to go through the interview process. And so by the time me and her or me and the department manager are interviewing someone, they're usually really good, you know. But yeah, the bullshit detector definitely goes off from time to time.
Yeah.
You know, usually you can tell within the first 5 to 10 minutes if they're going to be a strong candidate or not, and if they're going to fit in with the organization and the culture, and, you know, if they're going to be a long-term success or if they're just going to kind of be a flash in the pan and gone in a couple months.
Yeah. I mean, I remember that going back to the years in the restaurant industry, just having to interview people off the street. And
yeah.
You just kind of knew pretty quick that you're like, oh boy, I don't know about this one.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, yeah, this guy, you know, but then I've been wrong for sure in,
yeah,
the past, where I'm like, oh, this guy, I don't know about him. And then he ends up being like the best, one of the best employees of,
definitely,
you know, a couple months down the line. So it's just like, sometimes you just never know that kind of shit.
Yeah. But yeah. I can think of several examples where we'd be interviewing someone and I really wasn't vibing too hard with them, but other people liked him a lot and I get proven wrong. They turn out to be a great success. And also on the other end of the spectrum, like, yeah, I'll tell people, like, I really like this guy, let's bring him in, and it doesn't work out the way I wanted it to. So
yeah, it's like, sometimes you just never know until they get in there.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, hiring is tough, man. Like, I know that they're bringing people on. I've struggled with it, trying to bring people on our team. And just obviously, you know, I think you guys are doing it right with having your core values and making sure those people meet those core values. But, you know, there's people I've met that fit the core values that we have structured for our team, and they just come in and they just hasn't worked.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, I think being, you know, upfront with them about what to expect right off the bat is so huge. I think for a while, when I first got into management and started to kind of, like, you know, interview people and see if they would work out, I would almost kind of try to not sugarcoat it, but not tell the entire story. It'd be like, hey, this is a fun job. Like, it's cool. You're going to be doing this. You're going to be doing this. And then, like, the shitty part, I might kind of leave that to the side and let them find out on their own. Now it's like, I tell them up front, like, hey, here's what to expect. Here's what you're going to deal with. Like, there's going to be shitty days. It's going to be hard at times. Like, I'm not sugarcoating anything for you. Like, you're either going to be about it or you're not going to be about it. And if you're not, no big deal, you know, like, best of luck to you, but here's what we're doing. And if you don't want to do it, it's probably not going to work out. How many people do you guys work with, like, on your team?
Let's see. We've got, so it's Nick and I. We have two assistants in our pro. So five.
Okay.
Five of us.
Cool.
Yeah. So six. Yeah, we've got one other loan officer on our team. It's going to be stepping away. But yeah, so really five of us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and I've got two. I got my transaction coordinator and my VA. You know, so but most, I would say, like, you know, 95% of, I mean, I wouldn't say 90, that's probably a bad comparison, but I mean, a lot of it is on me, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't have a lot of, I have attempted to bring, you know, kind of start the team, and that's definitely something I want to do in the future, but I just haven't found, you know, the right people, but I also haven't put enough work in to try to find them. You know, I kind of started a team last year. We had brought a guy on, it just didn't end up working out. But you know, a lot of that, going back to that extreme ownership, there's definitely things that I could have done better. You know, looking back on it, you know, I could have been a better leader. I could have, you know, worked more trying to train him better than I did, but ultimately it just didn't seem like it was a great fit. So, you know, he ended up going somewhere else. So,
yeah,
which was totally fine.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is.
For sure.
Yeah. But with you guys opening up a new store, is that is that the first new store that since you've been on?
Yeah.
So yeah, what's that process been like?
Oh, it's been fun, man.
From like the ground up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's been super exciting. I've been learning a ton about what it takes to open a store successfully and, you know, the timelines that you have to meet in order to do that. But it's been so fun. And again, like it goes back to my leadership, like the people that are leading me on a daily basis, they're so great and they give me everything I need to succeed. But it's been so exciting dealing with contractors and, you know, we'll get updates every now and then and be like, oh, we just built the interior walls and the cooler's getting installed next week. And, you know, the artwork is coming in. So, you know, it's been great, man. It's been exciting too, like getting to tell our front of house employees, our storefront employees about a new store and new opportunities that's going to come with that. And, you know, new positions that will come with that, you know, growth opportunities. It's been exciting. We already have an ACE store on the horizon as well. So, sweet. You know, kind of like rinse and repeating that process has been fun.
It's in Fenton, right?
Store 7's in Fenton.
Sweet.
Yeah. If you're looking at the Deerbergs in Fenton, it's directly to the right. It kind of shares a wall with that Deerbergs.
Oh, sweet. Okay. I mean, right down the street.
Yeah, not far from here at all.
Frequent flyers. I don't know what's closer here or Sunset Hills. Yeah. Sunset Hills is my go-to.
Yeah, there you go. It's like a 5-minute drive too, so.
Yeah, just shoot right up the highway, I guess.
Yep. So, got a lot of my money at that place. A lot of money there.
A lot of my macros come from that place.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, a lot of your gains.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of my gains, baby.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I've talked about it when we had Maddie and Abby on last year. I mean, honestly, like for people that are on the go working, there's no better product out there that you can get if you're really trying to conscious of what it is that you're eating and trying to hit certain goals in terms of either, you know, gaining weight or trimming down like they're in the right way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. I mean, I love it. The food is always, always delicious. Haven't had any complaints on any of the meals that I've ever had.
Awesome. And
it'll, like you said, allows with the macros being on there, it's very easy to track and stay on top of things. So you're not, you know, you're not losing that during the day. Cause like, especially with us, it's very easy for us to run around. I mean, there's times where we're sitting here and we're like, we look at the clock. We're like, oh shit, I forgot to eat today.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, and especially like when you're on the go, but like you pop it in for a minute and a half and it's amazing.
Yeah. Ready to roll right then and there. And yeah, we have a lot of different buyer personas that we talk about. And sounds like you might be a just for lunch, Larry. Come in, swing by, get a meal, and then out to your next meeting.
No. Yeah. I mean, well, I mean, I blow it up. I'm always, I eat Fit Flavors 3 times a day. I mean, I'm usually buying, you know, anywhere from 18 to 20 meals a week.
Cool, man. So, that's awesome.
Yeah. Really cool. Yeah.
Love to hear that.
Heck yeah.
So yeah, it is great. I mean, it's been game changer for me too. Cause before I started working here, like I was saying, I would meal prep constantly for 10, 12 hours a day on Sunday. Now it's just at the end of my shift, you know, I'll call my wife and be like, hey, what do we need? And come home with, like you said, like 15, 20 meals for the week. You know, it's saved me a ton of time. It's been great for me.
Sure. That's probably a stupid amount of Fit Flavors.
Yeah.
Probably as much as Pat, if not more.
Yeah. We probably go toe to toe.
I just know every time I go in there, I get money off because I've spent so much from the time before. So I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah. Love those rewards points.
Yes. That's keep great. Going. I believe I'm a foodie of Fit Flavors.
There you go. That's awesome.
Yeah. Whatever the ranking is that you guys have on, or the tiers that you guys have on your little membership.
Yeah.
Whatever,
yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm the highest level one of a foodie.
I love that. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, I've been going there. Oh shoot. Probably since 2020.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you always, what store were you going to at that point?
So before I was going, so I hit up either the one on Clayton and Chesterfield, that was my go-to for the longest one when I lived off Sulphur Spring. It was literally, just shoot straight up Sulphur Spring. Mm. And now like my ex-wife lives over that way. So anytime I pick up the boys or anything like that, cause they go to school over there. You know, if I'm short, we'll just pop on in that one. It's great.
Cool.
But if I'm usually when I'm like, oh, like right now, that's my last meal. So after we're done here today, I will be shooting over to Sunset.
Right on.
Seeing my girls over there, saying hi, and picking up probably another 20 meals.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, you'll have to stop in and say hi at Chesterfield whenever you're out there between the hours of like 7 and 4 Monday through Friday.
Is that where you're at?
Your office is what, over there below the bike, Well, it used to be a bike shop. Now it's the health and wellness.
Yeah. So that's our office is directly below that, but our production facility is also behind the Chesterfield storefront. So when you walk in, there's the counter with the storefront associate. Directly behind that wall is our kitchen. And then to the right of that is our packaging. And then to the right of that is our distribution cooler. So that's where I spend about probably 80 to 90% of my time is in production. And then, you know, the other 10%, I go into stores, drop in, see what they need, kind of just say hello, make sure everything's running smooth in there. But again, I mean, our storefront manager right now, I mean, he's amazing. He makes my job easy. When I first started, I kind of felt like I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off, trying to keep up with production and storefronts. You know, it'd be like in the kitchen all day. I get there at, you know, 5, 6 in the morning, make sure the kitchen's good. They're usually, you know, pretty hectic until about 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. And at that point, that's when I'd focus on storefronts and make the schedule for, you know, 20, 25 storefront associates. And it got to the point where I was like, I don't know if I can continue to do all this by myself. And then again, you bring in great people around you and they start to make your life a lot easier.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But anyway, I know you and Katie did 75 hard, you know, a few years ago. I feel like that was a big, big like moment for you guys and like how it, I feel like it changed your outlook on a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was huge for me in the moment, in that moment of life for me, I truly needed it. Like that's when I would say in that moment was when I felt the most lost, I guess is a good word for you. In terms of just like my career and where I wanted my career to go. And I kind of felt like I was getting out of control, like drinking constantly and would go to the gym like maybe twice a week, three times a week, but it wasn't really like getting me anywhere. So that's when I kind of started to think like, okay, what do I really want to do with my life? Like, do I really want to continue in this one job and go down this specific path for the next 4 years? Or do I want to kind of pivot and do something else? You know, and I thought about it and I was like, okay, I definitely want to pivot. Like I want to change something. Something has to be different for me. And that's when I kind of started to like figure out about First Form and, you know, cause I always knew about their protein being from St. Louis. Like you go to any gym anywhere and people are talking about First Form or you see their apparel. And that's when I found like Andy's podcast and that whole deal. And so one morning I went to Katie and I was like, hey, I'm going to do this 75 hard thing. And she was like, what is that? I told her about it. And she was like, you're fucking crazy. Like, don't do that. What are you doing? And I was like, okay, yeah, well, I'm going to do it. Like, so that's that. Then she woke up the next morning and she's like, all right, shit. Like, I guess I'll do it too. Like, I'm not just going to watch you do all this by yourself. And I think she'd probably tell you, she probably got a little more out of it than I did. Honestly. I mean, I got a ton out of it. It was huge for me in terms of my mindset shift and my overall like outlook on work and personal life and just like where I want to go. But yeah, I mean, she really took it and ran with it. Like she went all out. She just did it again last year, and that's she'll tell you
about the pistachio thing on her episode.
Pistachio gate. It was so funny, not funny, but you know, just like watching her go through all that, and she was like, man, I ate a pistachio, I failed, like I can't continue to do this. And I was like, yeah, but like it's one pistachio, like you'll be all right. but looking back, I'm glad she did, because you know, she kept a promise to herself and went forward with it. Yeah,
like I mean, because it could have been so easy for her to just check that box and it you know, it's fine, you know,
exactly. Like, yeah.
That's kind of defeats the whole purpose of the whole program.
Yeah.
And, yeah, good for her. That was, yeah. I just feel like I noticed like a big shift in you, in both of you guys, like once you did it. And I felt the same thing when I did it.
Yeah.
And I definitely, I feel like I need to do it again. It's been a few years since I've done it. And, cause I went on a streak there where I did it like 3 years in a row and it was like,
yeah,
awesome. I loved it, you know, and every single time I do it, I like love it. But then I'm just like to jump to actually commit to it is a big, you know, commitment.
Yeah,
for sure.
It is. It's a huge commitment.
2.5 months of your life. You know, you're gonna, you know, you're all right. I'm dedicating, you know, every day I got to do this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like your friends and family kind of think you're crazy if they don't know what it's about. Like I remember some of my friends and family being like, what are you doing? Like you're not drinking for 75 days. Like you're going to not drink on your birthday. What are you talking about? And honestly, man, credit to you. Cause I probably wouldn't have done it without you. I watched you do it and saw you level up in your own life. And I mean, it took you to crazy heights, you know? So I was like, all right, well, if Zach can do it, I sure as fuck can do it.
Wow.
No, I mean, Brian's known me my whole life. And like, I think he'd be the first one to tell you I'm a very different person than I was when we were 13.
Yeah.
You know, like I was never the guy I was always the out of shape guy in our group of friends. And like, never the guy that was like seen as like a hard worker or anything like that. And yeah, I mean, it definitely changed me for sure. And
that's awesome.
The best way.
Well, you're an all or nothing guy. There's a reason you've come in first twice in our fantasy football league and come in last twice in our fantasy football league. There's no in between.
Yes, for sure. I'm either all in or I'm all out.
Yeah. What'd you make him do for losing fantasy football?
You had to wear a dress 1 year.
A dress 1 year, and then this year, we had so many great. I mean, I'm fine with the thing we ended up picking.
Yeah,
but yeah, we always kind of decide what the loser has to do. And you know, we had a couple good ideas. Like one idea that we saw was you got to spend 24 hours in a Waffle House and every waffle you eat takes an hour off.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. I was like, dude, I'll do that fucking all day. Yeah. I mean, I was like, I could
put down 20 waffles, spend 4 hours.
Yeah. I'd spend 4 hours.
Perfectly into your macros right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Knock out those 4,000 calories you got to eat real quick.
Yeah. We're finally on the downtrend. I'm reducing. I'm only at 3,100 right now. Oh, so
there you go.
Only 3,100.
I was up to 4,000 for a few months and,
Wearing it well.
Yeah. I'm the heaviest
he's
ever been.
He's thick. He's definitely gotten thick. Like not in a bad way.
In a great
way.
Yeah.
But in crazy thing is like fucking as fast as I put it on, it's coming off. Cause I've been at this reduced calories now for 2 weeks and I'm already down 7 pounds.
Oh wow. It's
fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You know, you just go from eating 4,000 to 3,000 and you're
right. falls off pretty quick.
It falls off, you know, cause it's like, dude, it's hard to gain weight and it is not a
really.
A lot of people listen to that and be like, who the hell is this guy?
It's been hard for me.
Yeah, well, I wish that I had that problem. I could look at a donut and gain weight.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been, but it's been a fun journey to all right, this is my mindset now. I'm just trying to gain weight. And I did it pretty well. I mean, I put on 7 pounds of muscle in 6 months, which is it sounds like not very much, you know, when I put on 24 pounds, but technically only 7 of that was muscle. If you look at the in-body scan, but when my coach that I talked to, she's like a pound a month is a great amount. If that's what you're trying to do. So, it was definitely not an easy route, but I mean, I also enjoyed eating a lot of food.
Yeah, it wasn't
so bad, you know, it was just, but the shitty parts is some days I'd be like, forget to eat. And then all of a sudden it's 8 o'clock and we just put the kids down and I've got 2,200 calories to eat. I'm like, fuck.
Man, time for 4 muscle makers.
I'd make the most absurd cheeseburger bowl. It'd be 400 grams of cooked rice, 10 ounces of beef, 3 servings of cheese. It was fucking ignorant. You know, I'm eating it out of a popcorn bowl. Yeah.
So what are you doing now? Are you counting your macros?
Yeah. I've been tracking. I mean, probably in I've been tracking my macros very consistently since May last year. And I mean, I think I can pretty confidently say there's probably less than 7 days that I haven't tracked, even days that I fucked off and drank or done anything. I always fucking go on the app and add it in there.
Yeah.
Even if it's the numbers I don't want to see.
Yeah.
I've gotten really good at, tracking. And, but yeah, I was started the gain, or the, the bulk, in October and then went from October to 2 weeks ago. And now the goal was to, put on some muscle and then, trim down for summer.
Yeah.
And, get shredded.
Yeah. Get the beach bod ready.
Get the beach bod ready. We're going to Florida in July. I was like, I want to look good with my shirt off. So
there you go.
But yeah, it's been a fun road, but yeah, I mean like we were saying. Oh yeah. Anyway, this went into the, we were talking about our fantasy football.
So you wore the dress.
The Waffle House one was an idea.
Yeah.
So we spent 24 hours in a Waffle House. Every waffle you eat cuts down an hour. I had the idea of who the loser has to run a marathon in a suit.
Yeah. You were all about that idea.
I was like, I think it'd be funny. I want to see Brett run a marathon in a suit or something,
It would have been funny. It just would have been tough to sit there in a lawn chair and drink beers and watch you just cruise circles around
eventually
be
track.
Man, I feel bad for this guy.
Yeah. But then we ultimately just came to the idea of we're going to rent a small bus or I don't know what the fuck we're going to rent.
Yeah. I guess like a passenger van
or something. And we're going to make a whole day of it where, we're just going to drive around and party all day. And the guy who gets last place has to be the sober driver.
Oh,
wow. Pick us up from our houses and drop us back off at the end of the day.
Yeah. So that's what I got to do.
I saw one that was pretty funny, which you probably would have liked to do too, but the loser had to go and do 5 minutes at an open mic.
That's torturous.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, no, I would have. I think I was telling Brian, we were talking about this earlier today, you know, about doing stand up. And I was like, have you ever done stand up? I was like, yeah, I did an open mic once and it did not go well. Well, it makes you really like appreciate like what comedians do, because you're like, oh, it looks like it's just talking, but it's a lot more than that.
Definitely. Right? Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure there's tons of prep work that goes into a successful night like that.
We've had a few comedians on here and it's been eye opening to say the least on what it is that they do and how their processes and stuff like that. And both of them are pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah. And just the trial and error process. Yeah. Cause that's like, you know, with stand up, it's like one of the only arts that you can't like practice. You can't practice stand up in front of your mirror. Like,
yeah.
You don't know if you're funny.
Yeah. Talking about like how often they're going out, like they're doing 3-4 shows a night, every night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where they're going to do like 5 minutes here and then going to the next bar or whatever and doing 5 minutes there or whatever.
Man, and that would be so tough. Like if you bomb at one bar and then your confidence going to the next one has to be an all time low.
Fuck yeah. And then you got to like fucking, you know, wipe the slate clean and get up there and do it again.
Just do it again.
And just try it.
What? Short term memory.
Yeah.
It's like, see ya. Right. On to the next.
Right.
Yeah, dude. It's like one of my favorite things to go see, but it is a very difficult venture.
Did you see like the Kill Tonys on Netflix?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I haven't watched it yet.
That's on Netflix. Yeah.
I started it last night and I fell asleep after the third guy.
Yeah. I've watched a lot. I mean, I've watched a lot of it on YouTube, but I haven't seen what they put on Netflix yet.
Yeah. That's a 2-hour long show.
I'm pumped. Nice. I love that show.
Yeah. Watch
Kill Tony.
Oh yeah. I love Kill Tony. Tony Hinchcliffe is one of the funniest people to me. He's hilarious.
Oh God. He's great. He's I saw him in town when he came in. Man, this was before real estate, so it had been like 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah,
I saw him and it was him and Red Band, and then they did a Kill Tony show here at Helium.
And, oh, cool.
I wasn't here for I didn't go to the Kill Tony show, but I went to just where they just did stand up. And it was great.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I saw Shane went to our buddy Shane went to the Mothership.
I saw that too. Yeah.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be really cool. I remember we were in Austin for a wedding a couple of years ago and we walked right by it and we're with a group of Katie's friends. And, you know, I was probably the only one in that crew that knew about it. Yeah. And so I was going to like, we got to go in, we got to go in. And they're like, what? What are you talking about? No, we're keep going. Yeah. So I was just kind of like watching it like fade away.
What's that meme where you got the girl while you're walking and the guy's like, he's looking back.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh man, that's funny. And I went and saw Bill Burr last year. That was good. And then we did the one when your buddy was hosting the
We went and saw Chris Oliver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Nice. That's cool.
Yeah, I saw him, and then he did a show pretty recently at the winery, and he opened up for Sam Talent, which was fucking great. I don't know if you've heard.
I've heard the name. Yeah.
Yeah. He's been on Rogan before. He's hilarious.
Cool.
Really, really funny.
Yeah, dude. Chris, that doesn't surprise me at all that Chris went down that path. That's a perfect path.
Perfect for him.
He was always the funniest guy growing up.
Yeah.
We had to pitch that to Scott because it's about having like a comedy nights up here. Like,
yeah.
Getting some comedians.
That'd be cool.
We did it once.
Yeah,
we did it for a charity event.
Oh, cool.
And that was fun. One of the guys has a podcast that is not part of the same production company. Actually, another one has a podcast that we were on. But that's how we really got connected with Eric.
Yeah.
And he's
hilarious.
He's great.
He does a podcast, and his whole concept is the name of the show is The Best ? And so it's like he'll bring up a TV and we'll bring up, all right,
who's the best TV mom?
Yeah.
And you gotta talk about why. And
And things, it just brings up it's funny conversation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And like the best could mean like whatever you think. Like is she the funniest or she's like, I want her to be my mom? Like, was she just hot? You know, like whatever it was. You know, like it was funny. Or like, you know, best on screen death. Yeah. You know, okay. Is it,
or which endangered species we would eat. Yeah. Or what would taste the best. Yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, it was just like funny shit like that. And so obviously it just brings up a lot of like hilarious
conversations.
What do we go with? Panda?
Yeah, I think so.
Kung Fu Panda. Yeah. Panda. Kung Pao Panda.
Kung Pao Panda.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting flavor, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be in the next Fit Flavors menu. Yeah. Jillian, I hope you're listening. Yeah.
Don't hold your breath on Panda.
How do we get that endangered species?
Yeah. The Zach and Pat Kung Fu Pandable.
Yeah, we'll do a chef's creation for that one.
Limited time only.
Yeah.
We were only able to get one panda.
Yeah. One single meal.
Yeah. $900.
Yeah. I'd pay it. Yeah. It's easy to drop that there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, well, going back to it, you know, having had Katie on, you guys being married, she's a very successful estate planning attorney. You're killing it with Fit Flavors. How do you guys make time and do things like as a husband and wife? Like, you guys have these crazy schedules.
Yeah. I mean, it can be tough. I'm not going to lie to you. We were just talking this morning about how we want to plan a trip together, just the two of us, even if it's just a long weekend. We're like, man, we haven't done anything together outside St. Louis since our honeymoon. And that was 2.5 years ago, you know? So, I think being intentional with your schedules and creating time for each other and not just saying, oh, like, well, our schedules are so busy and we'll stay, you know, we'll talk for an hour on the couch at night while we have a show on in the background before we go to bed. It's like, no, you have to prioritize that. I mean, because if you're, you know, if you and your spouse aren't on the same page and you're not clicking, then nothing else in life is going to be easy. So I think, you know, the intentionality aspect of it is huge, and like choosing to make time for each other instead of just saying, oh, well, like our schedule's busy. I got to be at work at 5 and Katie's not going to be home from a happy hour until 9:30 and I'll be asleep by then. It's like, you know, forcing that time into your calendar, I think, is most important.
Now, did you guys, when you, so like 75 hard being a part of that, like, did you guys do 75? Like, I know you guys are doing it at the same time, but did you actually like do the workouts and the stuff and all that together, read the same books, things like that?
Yeah, we would do a couple things together. We mostly, the outdoor workout was just like a 45-minute walk, and we would almost always do that together with the dog. We would try to go to the gym together sometimes, but our, you know, that didn't really work for several different reasons. But, you know, Katie, at the end of the day, she just goes way harder than me in the gym, I think, is a big part of it. Like, as soon as it hit 45 minutes, I'm like, all right, I'm out. Like, see you later. And she's like, I'm going to be here for another hour and a half. It's like, all right, well, I'll go get dinner warmed up. Like, have fun.
Have fun.
Yeah.
See you at home.
Yeah. But yeah, we definitely read the same books too. Yeah. We kind of bonded a lot over that. We still, to this day, like, if she reads a book that she loves, she'll be like, dude, you got to read this next, and vice versa. Yeah. You know, finding those commonalities when you're suffering in a program like 75 Hard is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure, like I said too, it's a great way to spend, like, to schedule it, to spend time together and use that as a way to have your time, quality time together.
Yeah, definitely. So. Yeah. And, you know, we try to spend as much time together on Sundays as we can. Like, lately we'll wake up, we'll go to church and maybe go to breakfast after that, and then come home, do some chores around the house, walk the dog, you know, even though there might still be time. Well, there definitely is still times where Sunday night rolls around and she is writing emails to her clients and I'm preparing for the week moving forward. So even when we are both working at home during weird hours, we're still kind of in the same mindset, the same mentality, and kind of like feeding off each other, which is another awesome thing to have.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Were you and Gina the same way when you were doing 75 Hard?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. We, I mean, the first time we did it, was it the first time? Well, it's funny that, I think it was the second time. Yeah, you know, we were the same way. We did, you know, we did it. We pretty much always did the outdoor workout together for the most part. We never really worked out together, you know, just because I think the opposite. I think I go a little bit harder than her. you know, and I most of my workouts were either jiu-jitsu or CrossFit or you know, something along those lines. But, and she would always pretty much go to Orange Theory, and then our outdoor workouts were together. And but yeah, we read a couple of the same books, but, you know, I think that was. Yeah, we read a couple of the same ones, but for the most part, we were pretty much kind of doing our own thing for a lot of them, you know. But meals were always together for the most part. Because the first time we did it was 2020, and this was kind of like tail end of COVID. Everything was still kind of weird. But then the second, I want to say it was the second time. Yeah, second time we did it, we started it on a Wednesday, and like Friday she found out she was pregnant. So like a perfect, like, you know, cause you don't want to tell people for like the first few months, or for, you know, for to like 8 weeks usually. So it was like a great, great excuse to say like why we weren't drinking. Yeah. Or why she wasn't drinking.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody's always, you know, if she wouldn't take a beer or something, yeah, they'd be like, well, are you pregnant?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm on 75 hard. Yeah. I'm pregnant.
Can't do it. Yeah.
There you go. Hey, hey, ladies that get pregnant that aren't trying to sell, just tell people you're on 75 hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an easy,
easy excuse.
Easy out.
Easy excuse, yeah, for sure. But yeah, we did a lot together, so.
Yeah, that's cool. We'll still try to, you know, do walks or runs together. We're training for a half marathon right now. And on Friday night, we had a long run scheduled and I just did not want to do it at all. I was pouting really bad and it was raining outside. And Katie kind of got to the point where she was like, you're coming with me. I don't care if you're angry about this or not. Like, you have to do it. You're coming with me. And it turned out to be a ton of fun. You know, yeah, we made a whole night out of it and it was fun.
That's awesome.
As are always the workouts that you're like most proud of or you feel the best afterwards is the ones you didn't want to do.
Yeah. Definitely. And I was in such a bad mood about it. I was trying to tell myself that, like, even if I do this workout, I'm not going to feel good after it. I'm still going to be angry. Like, that's how badly I didn't want to do it. And of course, afterward, I felt incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. When's the half marathon?
It is April 26th, I think. 26th or 27th. It's a Saturday.
You've done one before, right?
Yeah. We did one about a year and a half ago. And it was great. I mean, it was super hard. I've never been a runner before. I actually hate running. Like, I despise it, but
I'm with you.
Yeah. You know, it's just one of those hard things that kind of keeps you grounded throughout the day. Yeah. I usually try to wake up and get my run out of the way right away, like to start the day. And it makes the rest of the day pretty easy. But yeah, she's way faster than me. She runs so much faster. So when we were running on Friday, she definitely slowed down a lot for me.
Just held your pace.
Yeah. I was battling the whole time and she's talking to me like nothing's going on. Yeah. I'm like, yeah.
She's just gingerly.
Yeah. Yeah. Just frolicking along.
So needless to say, when this half marathon comes around, she's just going to leave you in the dust and say, I'll see you at the finish line.
I'll see you at the finish line.
Yeah. See you in a little bit. See you in an hour and a half.
Where you surprise her and just come out flying. Yeah. Like, peace.
I've been hiding my skill this whole time.
Yeah. Just trying to make you feel good, honey.
Yeah. I'll let you have this one. I'll get the next half marathon.
Where's the marathon at?
It's the Go downtown.
Okay. One.
Yeah. So, I mean, it'll be super cool. The route starts, I believe it starts underneath the arch and then we run across the bridge into Illinois, come back, run through Soulard, and then it ends at the city soccer park.
Oh, that's sick.
So it'll be, I mean, yeah, it'll be a super fun run.
I think my brother's doing that one.
Yeah. He's a big runner, isn't he?
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's done one full and I think he's done like three or four halves now.
Okay.
Yeah,
is he doing the full?
No, he's doing it. Excuse me. I think he's doing the half.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I was like, bro, you go from doing the full thing and then you're cutting it back. I was like,
yeah,
no, you got
to slack. You got to keep going.
You're slacking. Yeah.
Next to the 100, man. Do one of the 100 miles. Yeah. Come on. You know me, I'm just fucking egging him on.
Oh, yeah.
Pushing him, you know?
Yeah. No, I quit running once I quit playing baseball.
Yeah.
I do the mandatory run required by our CrossFit coaches when those workouts require running, but.
Yeah.
I'm good there.
Yeah.
I skate. I mean, I go ice skate 3 times a week. So that's a pretty good, I don't know what that equivalent is. I don't track it or anything, but I fucking hate running.
Yeah. Are you a hockey guy?
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess it was 2020, 2021, I got back into playing. So I grew up, that was my first love. If you were to ask me when I was little, what are you going to be? I'm going to be an NHL player.
Cool.
Never even thought about baseball. I just happened to be good at it and turned into something else. But no, I love playing hockey. I played until basically it wasn't really safe for me to play anymore due to concussions and then baseball scholarships and things like that.
Yeah.
So I gave that up. My last year was my junior year of high school. And then so I came back. So it was at 2005 and then skated a couple times in like 2016 and 17 with a buddy that called me. He was like, hey, you want to come out and skate on a Friday night? So I went out and skated a few times there, but really got back into it around 2020, 2021.
Cool.
And started off skating on Wednesday nights and then got invited to play on another team in a different league. Then got invited to skate on the Thursday nights. And now it's like, yeah, I'm going almost 3 times a week.
Nice.
Every week. So that ends soon. That ends tonight, actually. Tonight's our last game, championship game. Fucking beer league hockey,
nice.
Baby. Yeah, that's our glory.
Get the cup.
Well, yeah, the glory days. And then go party at OB Clark's afterwards. So
there you go.
Yeah, we're going to tear that place down like the Blues did after we win this thing. but yeah, so that's one of my passions. And then once this is over, so starting next week, I'm going to run on in and get back up at Watson's and start doing jiu-jitsu again. And
cool.
Yeah, okay. That, I mean, if you haven't done jiu-jitsu, it's literally the hardest thing you'll ever do.
Yeah, I'm horrified to even entertain the thought of trying to do it after looking at your ears and seeing all your injuries.
Yeah. Well, that's
fine. I'm walking around. My limbs work.
Yeah, I think it only gets really gets dangerous when you start doing competitions and matches and things like that. Because I know it gets rough in training.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're protecting ourselves enough in training to not really get. I mean, freak accidents happen, but.
And here's the problem I see, and I'm guilty of it, just like pretty much anybody else that trains, is like, it is so fun, you don't want to stop doing it. So if you get something that's a little aggravated, like maybe I tweak something in my shoulder or my knee or something, it's like, I'm okay, I can keep going. But like, I've learned through my years of doing this, okay, it's okay to take a week or two off, you know, like, let's recover. Whereas in the past, and I'm still guilty of it sometimes, but I just train through injuries because you just don't want to, stop going, or you don't want to feel like, I always feel like, oh, I'm going to fucking get worse if I stop showing up. And, but it's like training through injuries, I think, is a big problem. But I mean, injuries happen in training, injuries happen in competitions. It's just like freak things happen. You know, people get injured, you know, you'd think people always are very concerned with jiu-jitsu is like, they're, you know, thinking, the name of the game is, I'm going to break your bones before you break mine, or I'm going to strangle you unconscious before you strangle me.
Yeah.
But so like, you think that a lot of injuries happen all the time, which they do, but injuries happen in no matter any sport. Like, how many people do we know? I think you and I can think, because I'm thinking of people that you all know. How many people do we know, you know, tore an ACL playing intramural college basketball?
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Two of our the friends that are married.
Yes.
Like, both right, did that. And I can think of a couple more that have, like, you know, done something stupid, or, you know, done it playing basketball or playing soccer, or like fucking just doing something dumb.
I mean, yeah, I've been hurt more like this past year playing hockey than I ever did. I mean, in the short time that I was doing jiu-jitsu last year.
Yeah. But it's just, it's all about picking training partners wisely. And then, you know, and there's like this ego thing with jiu-jitsu that you don't want to, like, you just don't want to accept that you got caught. And, you know, like, everybody gets caught in things. Like, you get caught in submissions. It's like, just tap early, tap often. And most of the time, things are not going to, you know, pop and snap. But it's like the new guys that don't want to, oh, it's my mentality, bro. I'm just too fucking tough.
Nope. I will tap super quick. Yeah, I know. Like, I'm like, hey, well, I know exactly what's about to happen. Nope. I don't need, you know what? Go ahead. I'll let you put it there. But we're going to tap out real quick.
Yeah. It's something that, you know, you just got to be cognizant of, and like, not be an asshole, and like, be okay. It's, you got to look at it like a game, you know, and you got to be okay with losing. You know, sometimes. Yeah. You know, it's okay to get caught.
You're going to get your ass kicked.
Yeah, it's part of it.
But it's a ton of fun. And like I said, it's probably the hardest workout that I've ever done, especially cardio wise.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we just did it yesterday and we were, 15 minutes?
Yeah.
What we did at the end there. And like, I mean, I felt like I was going to have to get peeled off the mats.
Yeah.
I was just like done. Like, we got, like, there was one, like, that last round that we decided to go. Once Juliana got back, and I was just like, wait, fuck. 4 more minutes. Okay.
Yeah, 4 minutes can seem like a long
time. Oh, I'm sure it feels like an eternity.
Oh, yeah. Especially when you're trying to hold somebody down. Especially her. She's so quick and shifty. I mean, gosh, little people in the jiu-jitsu are tough for me.
I think big people are tough.
No, you guys can just fucking shift around and
you're heavy.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
No offense, buddy.
No, I know. I'm a big boy.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, for me, it's just whenever I see someone that has ears looking like yours, it's like, all right, that's a guy I need to get on my good side. Like, I can't, I don't want an enemy out of him.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy, though. It's like, I've seen some people that will get ears, like, they'll get cauliflower ear, like, pretty early into training.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you better stick around, bro, because you still suck at fighting. like the last thing you want to be is an ugly dude who can't fight.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, gotta bring something to the table.
Yeah, because there's a buddy of ours. I mean, you know, his ears, I mean, dude, it just looked like both of them looked like he had like two boneless chicken wings hanging off the side of his head. You know, like just two fortune cookies just hanging out here. And you know, he got it like apparently like 6 months into training or something. Like, you're like, well, you better stick around, bro.
You better,
like,
keep hanging out.
Yeah, because, it was, dude, it's just, but it's fun, man.
Yeah, it is fun. Yeah, it is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I wouldn't, my favorite thing, it's one of the things that's definitely changed my life, for sure. I cannot say enough good things about jiu-jitsu. I talk about it enough on here.
Yeah, it's a, I mean, I'm sure it's a cool culture too. I see that imposed will. I see that all over St. Yeah. Louis. You know, hats, t-shirts, everywhere.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
I'm wearing a hat right now.
Yeah,
yeah. I had one on yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, we had the owner of that on the podcast a while back. He's great dude. He's a the black belt and a great guy. He's does a lot of the commentating and stuff for like a lot of the MMA organizations.
Oh,
here.
Cool.
He fought in Bellator and a couple other organizations, but he's a great dude.
Yeah,
he's such a guy, knows it.
That was a good we had a good conversation with him. I like that conversation we had. But yeah, he's awesome guy.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Brian, it's been amazing having you on here, man. I really appreciate your time. And is there anything else we want to plug before we get you out of here?
No, man. I mean, thank you guys for the time. It's awesome. This is my first ever podcast, so it was a ton of fun for me. But yeah, our Fenton Fifth Flavors location, store number 7. We're targeting early June for a grand opening. So keep an eye on our socials for that and hope to see you guys all out there.
Oh, we'll be there, man.
For sure.
Absolutely.
We'll continue to buy 20 meals a week.
I appreciate that.
keep that paycheck coming.
Keep it coming, baby.
Well, we like to end the show with one last question. Play a little game called the Tombstone Game. Here lies Brian. What does it say on your tombstone?
Oh, I knew I'd be asked this question. And it's a hard answer to come up with. Yeah. I mean, good spouse. I think that's first and foremost what I want to be remembered as, a family man above all else. I think if I had to put a phrase on there, it'd probably be bet on yourself. Don't be afraid to take a chance on yourself and take a leap of faith. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. You can always pivot. But I don't want to be remembered as the person that stayed in my own lane for 60 years and then is gone. You know, I want to be remembered for someone that took a chance on himself and really did something with their life. And hopefully made a positive impact on others along the way.
That's awesome.
Perfect, man. Well, sweet. Thanks again, Brian. I love you, brother. Appreciate you coming on.
Love you, man.
It's been awesome. So for all you guys at home, appreciate you guys tuning into the show. If you could, click that subscribe button for us. That would help us out a ton. Click that like button as well. Comment what you thought below. And we will see you next time.